And good evening and welcome to This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football. I am your host, Joe Uccello. And tonight we're opening our series of the Hall of Foot, looking back at some of the greatest players to ever grace a pitch. And tonight we're very lucky. I am joined, of course, by my co-host, Mr. Roberto Rojas, and our special guest, Mr. Peter Coates from Golazo Argentino, who's joining us tonight to talk about Diego Maradona. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining me tonight. Peter, I want to start out with you and kind of get a little bit of background on Diego Maradona and talk about his humble beginnings. Where did he come from? How did he get his start? And what was the perception of him when he started out in football? You know, I kind of did a little digging myself, obviously born in Lanús, and came from a shantytown called Villa Fiorentino. Went to Argentino Juniors in, you know, early in his career. I think it was 1975 when I first looked at it, and really built himself from there. Was noticed actually playing in the neighborhood by some scouts, from what I understand. So where are his beginnings, you know, for you? And tell us about his history before becoming the great player he was.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those stories which is almost someone actually coming good on the fact that even from a very young age, people telling them they were going to be the best player ever. Because, as you say, he came from a very poor area just south of Buenos Aires City, Villa Fiorito, which is just in Buenos Aires province rather than the city. And it is a very poor area. And it was there that he was always just playing football like the kids would in that area, in the sort of small pitches that are set up there. So I think it was there that really formed Maradona the player, because you saw so many of the characteristics throughout his career in terms of the close control, no matter what the kind of state of the pitch, probably having to take a lot of physical kicks as well, coming up as a young boy, but playing probably with people much older than him. And when you read his autobiography and he talks about the happiness of that time, even though it was a very difficult upbringing, football's just the center of his life. From virtually as soon as he can walk, he's playing with a ball and building himself into the player that he became. As you say, it was Argentinos Juniors, the club that first signed him, even though it wasn't the local club. As you say, the place he was from is more close to Lanús, or Independiente, and Independiente are one of the teams that he obviously always said that he followed when he was younger, because he really looked up to Ricardo Pochini, the great number 10 for Independiente. But it was Argentinos Juniors, which is right across the other side of Buenos Aires. And in his autobiography, it's actually one of his friends that says, look, I went to do a trial and they need some more kids to come along, so come with me next time we go. And Diego had to persuade his mum and dad to let him travel with numerous buses across Buenos Aires to go and do this trial with Argentinos Juniors. But from all the descriptions, it's almost from day one that the people at Argentinos cannot believe the talent that Diego had, even at a young age. They can't believe he's the age he says he is. And as soon as he starts playing for their youth teams, he's immediately the star. So even before making his debut for Argentinos Juniors in 1976, he became the youngest player ever in the top flight, because it was a week or so before his 16th birthday. He was already a guy who people were talking about, a guy who entertained the crowds at halftime because he was one of the ball boys at Argentinos Juniors. So it's in a way amazing. Obviously, we know how much of a natural talent he is, but it's almost amazing that this guy with that amount of pressure on him as a kid still managed to fulfill all those expectations and become the best player in the world.
So, Peter, just moving up into Maradona, the character and the personality, we're going to go off the pitch and talk about him in kind of a personal standpoint. I mean, obviously, we're starting at his humble beginnings, kind of a player that is there to entertain the crowd. You know, during the course of his life, you know, about to turn 60 this year, we've seen a Diego Maradona that has very much outspoken on many things. You know, he's not afraid to say what he feels, to say what he wants, and kind of that is led into, you know, the personification of what an Argentine is, to be outspoken, to have that kind of grit and passion that made it so recognizable around the world. You know, he's obviously very outspoken politically, with various relationships with people like Fidel Castro, Hugo Chavez, even today with someone like Nicolas Maduro. You know, obviously has gone through many fights and spouts with numerous players, coaches, personality, celebrities, and whatnot. What is the perception of Diego Maradona, the person, outside of the football pitch?
Yeah, I mean, there I think it's slightly more polarizing. And what you often hear is people make that distinction between Diego Maradona, the player, and Diego Maradona, the person. Because, as you said, he is outspoken, and there's obviously been a lot of scandal in his life, not just with his drug problems, but in his private life, with his relationships and his children and so forth, which has been played out, obviously, in the press. So for that reason, there would be a lot of people that would obviously hold him in the highest regard when whatever he's done when he steps onto a football pitch, but maybe less so personally. You know, I mean, I think some of the things that you mentioned there about him being outspoken and everything else during his career is, I think, what kind of created the player that he was. I mean, I think that kind of personality is what made him successful in many ways, and I think it certainly has helped him become such an icon for the Argentinian people. When you look at the relation Lionel Messi has had during his career with the public in Argentina, he's complete opposite character in terms of very quiet, family man, doesn't really get involved. You don't read about kind of scandals with Messi off the pitch. Whereas I think Diego was a guy that everyone kind of sensed they could relate to in terms of his background, his very humble beginnings that we mentioned, and then just showing that passion and not being afraid to speak out and say exactly what's on his mind. And although it has led to some problems, I think it's also made Diego what he was and who he is.
And Joe, just jumping into speaking specifically about Diego Maradona, the persona, I mean, obviously the persona that he has is he was famous for his cunning personality, you know, that kind of mischief, kind of that anti-establishment rogue and having that street smart and full of, you know, personality. I mean, where do you see him rated among the great athletes that were always obviously outspoken off the pitch and off the sporting field? I mean, maybe one big comparison would be the likes of maybe a Muhammad Ali or a Michael Jordan.
Sure. You know, but I think when you look at, you know, for me, Maradona was a polarizing figure. When you look at his personal life on the pitch, there was nothing to not love. He was, you know, he was magical with his feet. And you remember, I mean, even if you go back in videos today, when you watch videos of the 86 World Cup, you watch videos of him playing at Napoli and videos of him playing at Barcelona, you see magic in his feet. It's almost indescribable. But Diego Maradona, the person off the pitch, was very polarizing. We talk about his involvement with the mafia in Napoli when he was there. We talk about he had a child while he was in Napoli that he wouldn't admit to initially, but then finally admitted to. There's a lot of pieces of Maradona's life outside the pitch that were very, very broken. I don't know that I'd compare him so much to Muhammad Ali, because Muhammad Ali was very political in his prime, where I don't feel like, and Peter, I would want to ask you to follow up on this, because I'm not 100% certain, but I never felt like Diego Maradona was a political polarizing figure off the pitch. Off the pitch now in his later years, in his managerial career, yes, I could definitely see that much, much more, but I don't recall him being quite the polarizing figure politically as a footballer himself. Do you recall anything like that for him?
No, I think I agree. I mean, obviously, I wasn't regularly watching Maradona in his peak, unfortunately. So a lot of my recollections, and I'm sure we'll come on to some of our recollections of watching him play, but during his peak, I wasn't as involved in football as I am now. But certainly those political figures that Roberto mentioned before certainly came later on in his career, and obviously still to this day with his relation with someone like Nicolas Maduro. So I'd probably agree that he wasn't someone from my point of view that was overtly political during his, say, peak playing years.
Right, but certainly a polarizing figure nowadays compared to even when he was a footballer, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think also it's a bit easy to, perhaps easier to let slide certain misdemeanors when you're the best player on the planet.
Sure.
So his problems with drugs, which was obviously well documented, even when he was at his peak in Napoli, he freely admits in his autobiography and things that, you know, it was then that he was quite heavily using cocaine and those kind of things. So those kind of problems were overlooked to some extent because of the fact that it was Diego Maradona, the best player in the world. I think as it got towards the end of his career and he wasn't that figure, then it became even more of a problem, because then I think people were probably a bit tired of hearing and reading about some of these things, and certainly there's less cachet if you're no longer considered the best.
Absolutely. Let's bring it back onto the pitch. Now let's talk about Diego Maradona, the player. You know, widely regarded, you know, in terms of the position he played as a footballer, pretty much never strayed from the number 10 position, that kind of second striker, the creator that we all love in world football. Do you recall a different position for him? Do you know, or was it strictly number 10 and that was it for him?
Yeah, I mean, even as a kid, he got the number 10 even when he joined Argentinos Juniors youth team. And the only thing Diego Maradona ever seems to talk about in terms of his position was just he always wanted the ball. He just loved having the ball. So whether it meant having to drop deep to get on it or whatever, but he just demanded having the ball at his feet. And when I talked at the start about seeing the similarities of Maradona, almost as you can imagine him playing as a kid to all the way through his career, or certainly the Maradona that you think of when you think of watching Diego Maradona play, is that it's a guy hungry to be on the ball, dribbling constantly, looking for openings to exploit. And so he's just that classic archetypal Argentinian number 10 when you think of, and even when we go back to those humble beginnings, even the background story and everything that goes into just that mischief and everything is what an Argentinian number 10 is.
Now, obviously, going into his career and his stardom and his rise to basically stardom, I think we have to go all the way back to the beginning where he was playing at Argentinos Juniors and then made the move to his boyhood club, to Boca Juniors, in 1981, only playing there for just a season before making that big world record fee move to Barcelona shortly after the 1982 World Cup, where, you know, obviously he didn't have the biggest success that he could have had. I mean, obviously some may refer to him scoring against Real Madrid and being probably the first player on Barcelona to get a standing ovation at the Santiago Bernabeu. But a lot of clashes, a lot of indifferences have seemed to made him leave the Spain and head off to the south of Italy to go to Naples, to Napoli, where obviously the team had never won a championship in the history of its of Serie A. It was also being completely dominated by teams in the north like Milan, Juventus, Inter, Roma, and many others. I mean, Maradona comes in and, you know, is treated like an icon, an idol. I mean, he probably is Napoli's greatest ever player. He is Napoli's greatest ever player. And obviously that had led to talking about his icon status, his godlike status over there in Napoli. I mean, Peter, just go into about that, his odyssey in the south of Italy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess when you think of Maradona's club career, it's with Napoli that you really decide upon his greatness, because he did make that move to Barcelona, but other than some flashes of his brilliance, Barcelona didn't get probably what they were expecting when they paid that world record fee. So, you know, one of the things that you usually see with Maradona in Barcelona is that battle with Athletic Club, but there's not all that much success during that time. So it is in that era with Napoli, winning two titles, the UEFA Cup in 1989, when you really look at Maradona at a club level and go, wow, this is really something special. I know Napoli did spend money during that era. It wasn't just Maradona, but he was certainly the catalyst, was the center point of that team, and took them to the absolute heights in Italy. So it was a remarkable move, huge move, which, you know, when you look at the recent documentary or the photos of him being unveiled in Naples, it just goes to show how big a star he was, even though the move to Barcelona hadn't been a roaring success. And it proved to be even more than anyone could imagine when, you know, a few years down the line, and he'd led them to two titles.
You know, I want to look forward here, because most legends have either an iconic moment, whether it be a match, whether it be a true moment. Most legendary players have that iconic moment. And for me, although Diego Maradona is truly a god in Naples, I mean, there's no other way to describe it. He's an absolute god. I think people would fear Maradona more than they would fear an erupting Vesuvius in Naples. His true iconic moment for me didn't come in the Naples blue. It came in the Argentinian blue. So, Peter, before I give you my choice, what is your choice for the iconic moment or iconic match or signature moment that Diego Maradona gave the world to announce his absolute greatness in all of time for history of football?
Yeah, I mean, I think it has to be 86 against England. Mm-hmm. When you consider the political backdrop to meeting England at the World Cup after the conflict with Malvinas, and then Diego Maradona scoring two of the most memorable goals in history for two completely separate reasons. The hand of God, which is a goal which transcends football and goes into pop culture. You know, whether you can debate the, you know, the rights and wrongs of scoring a goal like that, but again, it kind of typifies Maradona. And then he follows it up with arguably the greatest goal of all time. So, I mean, it's just an astonishing game, and one which certainly is central to Diego Maradona's legacy, the fact that Argentina go on and win the World Cup. But it's that game which people remember more than anything during that run. Now, personally, because I was very, very young and during the 1986 World Cup, I don't remember sitting there watching it. What I do remember far more vividly in the 94 World Cup and his goal against Greece, and then later in the tournament getting walked off hand in hand with the doping control in his last ever international game. So it's a slightly sadder moment, but it's one that sticks very vividly in my mind from when I was younger. But when you look at his career, it's got to be 86.
I do recall that moment as well. Rob, I want to come to you with the same question, because for me, I have a great deal of difficulty, and like Peter, like you totally laid it out, one goal is iconic pop culture-wise, whether it's right or wrong, it still exists, and it kind of describes Diego Maradona, the person, like we just talked about off the pitch, where, you know, it's not exactly above boards, but the solo goal that he scored, where I've counted, I think he's dribbled anywhere between 9 and 10 players. He's dribbled through anywhere 9 and 10. There's only 11 on the pitch. I mean, he felt like he would have actually dribbled the ball off the pitch through the manager and then back on. It was a goal that I don't think has ever been duplicated, and I'm sure many have tried. So you could call the hand of God the iconic moment. You could call the solo goal the iconic moment. You could call that match in the quarterfinals the iconic moment. But, Rob, I want to get your opinion. What is your opinion of Diego Maradona's iconic moment that announced himself to the world?
Well, I think I have to agree on everyone here that it had to be that hand of God and that solo goal against England. And I think outside of what we saw on the pitch, I think there was just so much tension coming into that match because of the fact that both countries were at war just 4 years ago. And, you know, Maradona said that, you know, he wanted to win this for the people, for the kids, for the young men that died in the Falklands just 4 years ago. And, you know, in a way, those few minutes, you know, the hand of God, where it kind of personifies Maradona, the person, and the cunning personality, that kind of street smart to essentially just rob the glory and sportsmanship that the English were trying to do something. And also, you know, that solo goal in front of 100,000 people at the Azteca, in a hot Azteca, I would say, dribbling past five outfield players before beating Shilton with a feint. I mean, then slotting it into the back of the net. I mean, goal of the century for a reason. So those come into those big moments, and obviously the assist to Burruchaga for him to win that World Cup and announce himself as the greatest player in the world and maybe the greatest player of all time. But, you know, if there was one other moment that I had to choose, I think it would have to happen 4 years later in Italy, in the semifinal against against Italy, after defeating Brazil in the round of 16 as well, and then in the quarterfinals against Yugoslavia on penalties. I think that semifinal was iconic for many reasons as well. The fact that he was playing in his home ground at the São Paulo over there in Naples, the fact that he wanted people from the South Italy to support Argentina rather than Italy because of the perception that the Italians have always made to the people of the South, and obviously the way that they wanted to eliminate them and obviously go to the final where eventually they did lose that final. It really was a personification of how great Maradona was, even as well being with an ankle injury as well. I think that just shows the amount of genius that he had. I mean, Peter, I'll jump in and talk about that because, you know, I think in the 90 World Cup, while we didn't see the same plaudits that we saw in 86, but I think in 90 is definitely a close second in terms of iconic Maradona in a World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the other moment that kind of springs to mind is the pass to Caniggia for the win against Brazil, because it's one which Argentinian supporters still sing about, I think, in the lyrics when at the World Cup in Brazil, and obviously the famous Argentina chant that was almost like the anthem to that World Cup in 2014. One of the lines in there, I think, is about that victory, and obviously it's Maradona's wonderful assist to Caniggia that makes that. And I think when we look at the iconic moments as well, as there's just one other very early in his career that I think isn't well remembered anywhere near as much as those we've talked about, but I think characterizes Diego and his character. And it's when he's still playing at Argentinos Juniors, but they play Boca, and Loco Gatti, the goalkeeper for Boca, was asked before the game about Diego Maradona, and he had turned around and basically said that he thought he was a little bit overhyped and was a bit fat. And Diego Maradona then said to his agent, "Okay, I'm going to go and score 4 goals against this guy." And when you read Diego Maradona talk about this, and he talks all the time about bronca, this idea of like almost proving someone wrong, or when he feels as though like no one expects him to be able to do something, it really drives him on. And it's something which is all the way through his career. When anyone writes him off, he feels just driven to be able to do it. And then he goes and scores 4 goals against Boca for Argentinos Juniors. And so it's a very minor moment, perhaps, when you consider it in the context next to things like 1986, 1990. But it's a moment very early in his career which I think characterizes exactly the talent and the temperament of Diego Maradona.
100%. So obviously we'll escape Maradona's great career and talk about what had happened after his career. I mean, obviously the big moment that you had mentioned was unfortunately his doping incident back in 94 that essentially ruled him out of playing anymore for Argentina, although he did have a stint with Boca at the end of his career before retiring in 97. He's had definitely a colorful life after football, Peter, you know, getting into coaching, you know, being kind of a TV personality, you know, doing many things from an administrative point of view. What has Diego Maradona's life been ever since he hung his boots in 1997?
Yeah, I mean, it's been one which has certainly had its ups and downs in terms of his battle against addiction with drugs. I mean, I think they've been very well documented, and perhaps why he's had such an odd not even just post-career, but towards the latter end of his playing career, certainly now seems to have slightly calmed down. He's obviously the manager of Gimnasia La Plata now, and has been since last year as they battle against relegation. And before that, other than his time in charge of Argentina as manager, it's been a sort of fairly odd managerial choices, with a small stint in Mexico prior to returning back here, then before that in Dubai, very briefly kind of overlapping with the end of his playing career when he was at Racing, and then another job in Corrientes. But I guess for now, when he's with Gimnasia, it's always people talk about is his disappointing spell in charge of Argentina when he obviously took the job in 2008 to qualify for the 2010 World Cup. We had the 6-1 defeat away to Bolivia, the historic night in the rain at the Monumental when Martin Palermo scored against Peru to basically secure qualification. But what people will really remember is the very disappointing World Cup in South Africa in an elimination against Germany. So certainly hasn't had anywhere close to, I know it would have been impossible, the success as a coach. But it is doing a positive job at Gimnasia now as they try desperately to avoid relegation.
And, you know, for the modern day football fan, maybe the casual football fan, many of the fans will look at Diego Maradona and the interview he gave, I believe it was to Fox Sports, when he was at Dorados in the Liga MX, and where he kind of stumbled through an answer where they asked him a pretty simple question. And they tend to forget the great Maradona that, you know, really didn't speak with his mouth but spoke with his feet when he was on the pitch. And that's the one that we're trying to embody tonight is the Maradona that we remember, the Maradona the footballer, the great footballer that he was. So with that in mind, Peter, I want to close out with our final question. And obviously we're talking about greatness here when we get to it. And we talk about other number 10s that have played football. We talk about Zinedine Zidane, Johan Cruyff, the great Pele, who's played in that position. For you, where does Maradona rank among the all-time greats, whether it be at his position, whether it be in Argentina, whether it be worldwide ever? Where does he rank for you as one of the all-time players?
Well, I mean, I think the question since the emergence of Lionel Messi now in terms of worldwide and Argentina is probably the same. Because I honestly think Messi's the only person that could perhaps lay claim to saying better than Diego. I think it's a generational thing, certainly in Argentina, that if you go back to anyone who was watching football from in around 86, so sort of maybe 40 years and onward upwards, there's nothing for those people that can top Diego Maradona, the things that he accomplished, the things that he achieved, the things that he epitomized for them. So when you want to talk about greatness, I think for a lot of people, and not just in Argentina, would say Diego Maradona is number one. There is no greater player of all time. As I say, maybe for me and some of the slightly younger generation, now Messi comes into the equation and people may want to say, okay, look at everything that Messi's been able to achieve and just the sheer consistency of which he's done it. That I think that's the difference maybe when we talk about Diego Maradona's career, and that there are ups and downs and there's periods where he wasn't hugely successful. Messi has managed to just maintain that. And you can say, okay, it's been slightly easier because he's just stayed at one club, enabled to do that, and a very successful club. But it's one of those debates that I don't think there's ever going to be an answer. It's impossible to compare really across different generations, different times of football. But that's where Diego Maradona is in that conversation to be potentially the best footballer of all time.
And Peter, you kind of hinted at it, so I want to kind of throw this at Rob real quick. I want to throw the same question at him, but ultimately when we ask this question in this series of shows, it's really going to be a personal answer. It's not, I don't know that we can say that Pele is the one or Maradona, you know, many will say Messi is now. It's a personal answer. So Rob, for you as a personal answer, where does Maradona rank for you among the all-time greats in world football?
Well, I think Peter had alluded to it, given the fact that, I guess, in this kind of round table discussion, we're coming from different generations. I obviously never saw Maradona play in person. And I basically, since the time I followed football, it was always Lionel Messi, the player that I've always watched, or at least one of the players that had been at his peak and among the greatest players in the world. So I could relate to that. I think from a historical standpoint, yeah, you can argue for many things, whether it be for Messi's consistency, you know, his kind of success from a club level and being able to be at the top of his game for more than a decade, you would say. Whereas Diego, obviously the big plaudits and the big shining goal that he has over Messi is that World Cup that he won in 86, where Messi was unable to do so. So, yeah, I think it comes into a personal question. I think for me, I've said it multiple times, I think Leo Messi is the greatest player to have ever kicked the ball. But when you come to historical factors, I think there's no denying Diego Maradona's personal standpoint and his impact that he's had in Argentina, and in world football as a whole. So he is definitely up there as, you know, second or third place, I would say. So he's up there. But if you gave me my personal opinion, I would put him probably as the third best player of all time. If we take into what Lionel Messi was able to do and put into real specific matters, I think I've put Diego probably at number two behind the great Pele. And Joe, I mean, I'll jump into that question and ask the same to you.
Yeah, you know, and thinking about it, it is, again, it's a very personal question. For me, there are characters of Maradona's game that mimic Messi's game. There are also characters of Maradona's game that, for me, were tougher. And you know, if you haven't seen the documentary, and I haven't seen all of it yet, but if you haven't seen the Maradona documentary, definitely go back and watch it because it is phenomenal. But to watch the beating that Diego Maradona took week in and week out, and we talked about, I want to say it was the 90 World Cup, where he came into that that World Cup with an ankle injury and a pretty severe one. You know, it's amazing the durability that Maradona demonstrated throughout his career. Now, for me, it is tough to get past all the World Cups that Pele won. And I did get to see Pele at the very, 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 very end of his career with the New York Cosmos. I'm not old enough to have remembered Pele, the World Cup champion. But I did see Maradona, the World Cup champion, and he was magical. And there's no other way to describe him other than absolutely magical. And like I said, there are pieces that I see from Messi that I saw in Maradona. It's hard to get past that 86 World Cup where he's put that trophy in the case and Messi hasn't. And again, that's no fault to Messi as well, because to win a World Cup, it does take 11 players on the pitch. It's not just one person. And I think all of these players that we talked about that have won World Cups will have supporting casts that really worked well with them, whether it be Burruchaga, you know, or others. You know, you're always going to have somebody that is magical. Even we're going to probably do Zidane, and you think about Thierry Henry and what he did to you know, help the French national team. So there are always those other pieces. For me, Maradona, you know, because of that, would rank second behind Pele for me. I think Messi might be third, and maybe Cristiano Ronaldo fourth at this point. Or you could interchange the two, and I know that's the great debate of these days, and I don't want to get into it. We're still talking about a massive chunk of gold, no matter which player we talk about. But I feel that, for me, Maradona did it in a time where players don't tend to get the protection of the referee's whistle that we do see nowadays from time to time. And I think because of that, he suffered a lot more damage. He suffered a lot more physical play. But he was able to shine through it to the greatness that we saw today. And that's why, for me, going back even to the moment, the solo goal where he dribbled through everybody, for me, is more of an iconic moment than the hand of God, because you think of the abuse and the physicality that a player of that age would have had to have suffered. And for him to be able to dribble through all those players and score, I think, is something that I don't know that the players of today could actually mimic, given the physicality. So that's my opinion. I think he's second overall, and it's a very, very close second, but certainly one of the most magical dribblers I've ever seen in my lifetime. Gentlemen, I want to thank you both. Peter, again, thank you for coming on the show and helping us break down Diego Maradona. Remember, you can find Peter's work at Golazo Argentina and on Twitter at Golazo, G-O-L-A-Z-O Argentino as well. And for Mr. Roberto Rojas, I am Joe Uccello. Thanks for listening to our Hall of Foot program, and good night.